want to tell you about a guy that got stranded on a deserted island. And on that island, there were three huts. And along came a ship one day, and he was able to flag the ship down, and the ship pulled up on shore, and the captain got out and came up and was talking to the guy, and he said, "What's the three huts out there?" And the guy said, "Well, that first hut over there, that's my house. That's where I live." He said, "Well, what's the second hut?" "Well, the second hut is my church. That's where I go to church." "Well, what's that third hut over there?" "Well, that's where I used to go to church, but I had trouble at that church, and so I built a new church." And you know, a lot of times people have trouble at church, right? But when you're the only person going to church and you have trouble, you might be the problem, okay? But you know, in this world, we're going to have some trouble. I mean, that's the way life is. Over in London, they had a problem. There was they have these big double-decker buses. You know what I'm talking about. And this bus was going along, and they kept going by the people that were waiting to get on the bus. And over again, people complained. The bus came by, but it didn't stop. It didn't pick me up. And so people were complaining, and the London Transit Authority issued this statement. They said, "It is impossible to keep the bus schedule if we have to always stop and pick up people." You know, I think sometimes trouble comes from bad decisions. Would you agree? There was a rabbi, he went to a new synagogue, and he goes in the first day, and it comes time to say the prayer. And when he says the prayer, half the church stands up, and half the church stays seated. And the group that sat up yelled at the other side, "Stand up," and the group that stayed seated screamed at the other side, sit down. And back and forth they went. And this went on for several weeks. Even after the rabbi preached on unity, it still went on. Finally, he got so frustrated, he went to the old rabbi who had started the synagogue in the beginning. He was 99 years old. He was in an assisted living place. And he goes and he says, "I've got a terrible problem." He says, "I need to know what the tradition is. When I say the prayer, half the congregation stands up. Is that the tradition?" And the old rabbi said, "No." And he said, "Well, half the congregation sits down. Is that the tradition?" And the old rabbi said, "No." And he said, "Well, something's got to give, because half of them are standing up and half of them are sitting down, and those standing up are yelling and those sitting down are screaming." The rabbi says, "That is the tradition." And you know, sometimes trouble comes because of people's self-centeredness and wanting their own way. Whatever the case, trouble is going to come in this world for many various reasons. We will have trouble. Today we're going to think about that trouble. Now I know you're saying, "Wait a minute, we're in a series on love. How does that relate to trouble?" Well, I'm going to show you how it relates today, because there's good news for you when you face trouble in this life. And so we're going to begin by asking this question. If you love the Lord, does that mean that life will always be easy? If we love the Lord, does that mean that life will always be easy? I tell you, the short answer to that is no. We will have trouble in this life. But you know, God has told us in His Word that if we love Him, if we follow Him, if we believe in Him, that He's going to bless our lives. Now we have to understand what that blessing means. He's also told us He wants the best life for us. And I'm convinced that the best life is found in following Jesus Christ. But you know, we live in this broken world. We live in a world that has been cursed since Adam and Eve committed the first sin. We live in a world where things are going to sometimes go wrong. Now, God will be with us if we follow Him, if we believe in Him, if we love Him. But He's not always going to fix everything that we face. So today we're going to think about this idea of trouble. Now, Billy Graham once said, "Within the New Testament, there is no indication that Christians should expect to be healthy, wealthy, and successful in this present age. Christ never told his disciples that they would win an Academy Award for their performance, but he did tell them to expect to have trouble. This age is interested in success, not suffering. We can identify with James and John, who wanted the choice seats in the kingdom. We might even ask for a recliner and some soft music. It's not going to happen. I want you to think about trouble today as we look at John chapter 16. Now remember, John is the author of this. He's recording Jesus' teaching the night before Jesus died. We've looked at chapters 13, 14, 15. Now we're going to look at 16. And we're going to look at what Jesus had to say about love in the midst of trouble. Jesus told his disciples here that he was going to go away. He was going to leave them alone. He also told them that they were going to be persecuted. They were going to be hated because of their faith in him. He did promise to send his Holy Spirit to be with them, to help him during this time. But he even told them, he said, listen, some people are going to persecute you, and they're going to think that they're doing the world a service because they kill you. But remember, he said, that I'm going to be with you. And he talks about love. Do you know the word love in the book of John is used in 14 of the 21 chapters? It's used 56 times in those chapters. In every one of the chapters that we've looked at, the word love is used. Listen to what he says. We'll begin in John 16, verse 25. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language. But I will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself, now get this, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. I want us to take special note of verse 27. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I want you to think about that word belief for just a minute, because that in the Greek, the original Greek language this was written in, it is the word pistis, and it can mean belief or faith. Could have easily been translated, and you will have faith that I come from God. And the first thing that I want us to think about as we begin this study today is that our love for and our faith in Jesus leads to a special relationship. Listen, we know we're supposed to have a relationship with Jesus. But through our faith in Jesus and our relationship with Jesus, we have a special relationship with God. You know, God loves you. He does tremendously. In fact, God loves everyone. He loves everyone on this earth. Most of you can quote John 3:16. What does it say? For God so loved the world. Okay? He's not talking about the sphere of the earth, the water and the land, though he does love that. He's talking about the people that inhabit that earth. He loves them. He cares dearly for them. And he loves them with that agape love that we've been talking about, the Greek word agape, which is a special kind of love. It's Christ's kind of love. It's the kind of love that is unconditional. It's not based on a feeling. It's based on a decision that I'm going to care for others. I'm going to have concern for them. I'm going to have compassion for them. I'm going to want the best for others. That's the kind of love that God has for us. He cares about us. You know, he cares so much about you, God does, that when you love Jesus and you believe in Jesus, then he's going to make you a special part of his kingdom. And he's going to make you part of his family. Ephesians 1:5 says, we are predestined for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. We are made part of God's family because of our love for and our belief in Jesus. That's powerful. Philip Griffin tells about a time he saw a sign that he really liked. It was a sign for a lost dog. Anybody ever seen a sign for a lost dog? Okay, this particular sign had a big reward. Would give a big reward if somebody found this dog and brought him back. Here's what it said. It gave a description of the dog. He's only got 3 legs. He's blind in the left eye. He's missing a right ear. His tail has been broken off. He was neutered accidentally by a fence. Ooh. He's almost deaf. He answers by the name Lucky. Listen, that dog's not lucky. That dog is blessed. And why is he blessed? Because despite the fact that he's got all these infirmities, he's got a master who loves him. You have a master who loves you dearly. Despite all the problems you got in your life, despite all the infirmities you have, despite all the transgressions you have, despite all the sin that you have in your life, and the imperfections that you have a master who loves you tremendously. And he would love nothing more than for you to love him back and believe in him. You know, I heard about a little girl that was out to dinner with her family. They were eating Chinese food. What do you do when you get through eating Chinese food? You open a fortune cookie, okay? And so all the adults are opening up their fortune cookie one at a time. Each one pulls it out and reads the fortune cookie. And then the little girl says, well, I want to open my cookie. I want to read my cookie. And so she opens it up. Of course she can't read. But they're playing along. Okay, honey, what does it say? And she opens it up and pulls out the little piece of paper. And she says, Jesus loves me. Okay? Now, you're probably not going to find that in a fortune cookie. But Jesus does love you. And that little girl knew that she had a place, a special place, a special relationship with Jesus. Think about what Jesus said a while ago. He said in there that the disciples said, you are now speaking clearly. We believe you are from God, they said. Now, verse 31, listen to what Jesus said. Do you now believe? Question mark. Do you now believe? Yes. Jesus replied, a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each of you to your own home. You will leave me alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. Now there's going to come a time when they're going to be scattered. And what I want you to think about here is that worldly people will not always respect our love for the Lord. And here's what I mean. Now, when Jesus was arrested, the disciples ran away. They all went eventually back to their own homes. Some of the disciples went back to Capernaum where they had lived. Some of them even went back to fishing for a while. They went back to their old ways. They scattered. They left Jesus. They did leave him alone. They still believed. They wanted to believe. They just didn't understand everything yet. Jesus did appear to them eventually, and they believed, and they understood then more after Jesus came and believed in them, so much so that after they saw the resurrected Jesus, they went out and preached in his name. They carried the message out in spite of the fact that the Jewish leaders had told them not to preach in the name of Jesus. They changed the world because of what they did. But then, along comes the Jewish authorities, and they start persecuting Christians. The church is growing too fast. They don't like it. A man named Saul came along, and he began to persecute Christians and arrest them and take them back to Jerusalem to stand trial. He even got letters from the Jewish leaders giving them authority to arrest people in foreign lands and bring them back to Jerusalem if they were Jews to stand trial for worshiping Jesus, stand trial for blasphemy. Now that guy, Saul, he eventually came to know Jesus. They changed his name to the Apostle Paul. He's the greatest missionary the world has ever known. He wrote 1/3 of the New Testament. He turned out to be an amazing Christian guy. But for a while, he was not. He scattered the church. And you know what I want you to think about there is that the church is going to be persecuted by those that do not believe in Jesus. They're going to be against us. There's an organization called Open Doors, and they track countries and what's going on as far as persecution of Christians. Did you know last year, 2023, almost 5,000 Christians were killed around the world for their faith? 4,000 were abducted. 15,000 churches were attacked and closed. 295 Christians were forcibly displaced from their homes because of their faith in Jesus Christ. You see, we got it easy here in America. Open Doors ranks the top 50 countries as far as persecution of Christians. You know what the number one country is? It always is. It is Korea. And they rank countries, these top 50 are all ranked very high, and some of them are even ranked extreme. Top 50 countries, Korea is number one, Somalia is number two, Libya, number three, Eritrea, number four, Yemen, number five, Nigeria, number six, Pakistan, number seven, Sudan, number eight, Iran, number nine, and Afghanistan, number 10. In those countries, you can expect, if you're a Christian, to be persecuted, maybe even to be killed. Nigeria has killed more Christians than any of them, 4,100 Christians killed. You know what's interesting? China is on the list. But you know what? Did you know China is the number one printer of Bibles in the world? They print more Bibles in China than anybody else. And you may say, how does that work? They persecute Christians, yet they print Bibles. It's because they make a lot of money off of print Bibles. And you might say, well, why do we have Bibles printed there? Because you have to have special printing presses to print Bibles. You got really thin paper. You got really small print. You got some paper that's thick and has colored maps on it. You have a leather binding on it. You got to have special equipment to print Bibles. There's 100 million Bibles printed every year in the world. Over half of them are printed in China. And yes, I checked my Bible, printed in China. Okay? You might check yours. Dirk Crandall in the first service said he looked and his was printed in USA. He felt like his Bible was a little better than my Bible. Even China, who persecutes Christians, you see, they disrespect us because even though they want to make money off of printing Bibles in our country, because of our beliefs on some things, we are persecuted. I mean, you think about it. Some of the things we stand for, we're against sexual immorality, sex outside of marriage, homosexuality, abortion, overindulgence of alcohol and drugs. We're against greed, and we should be against pride. And certainly, we are against use of foul language. All of these things are prevalent in our society today. And because of our stance on some of these things, you know what happens? We're called bigots and closed-minded and antiquated and haters. Listen, our theme is love. And yet we are called haters simply because we don't agree with other people. And they act as though their thoughts are the right thoughts and ours are wrong. But we follow the living God. So you got to expect, if you're going to be a Christian, sometimes you are going to face persecution. But you just think about what Jesus said. Expect it. It's going to happen. Now let's look at what he goes on to say. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will, in this world, you will have trouble. Now, wait a minute. Jesus said we're going to have peace, but he said we're going to have trouble. That seems contradictory. But what does he really say? In me, in him, following him, believing in him, we can have peace. In the world, we're going to have trouble. So that's the next thing I want us to think about, is that Jesus explains we can have peace in the midst of trouble. You know, the reference here is to being in him, that is, believing in him, loving him, following him. In John 14, 1, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. John 14, 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You see, it's a different kind of peace than what the world thinks about. Jesus wants to give you that peace. He wants to come in and take over your lives and give you peace when you love him and you believe in him. You know, God is working for your good, whatever you might face in this world. He's not going to stop all the trouble from coming your way. In fact, we preached a sermon series not too long ago. In that series, we talked about how God uses trouble and difficulty sometimes. Sometimes he uses it to teach us dependence on him. Sometimes he uses it to strengthen our faith. Sometimes he uses it to prove our faith. Sometimes he even uses trouble as discipline for our lives to get us back on track. But the key is that we learn to trust God no matter what we face, in good times and in bad. We trust him, and we hold on to him, and we follow his leading through whatever we get. You know, Amazon tracks Bible verses that are highlighted on the internet. You might not know that. But you know what they found in tracking? You would think, what's the best verses that they could do? Maybe John chapter 3, verse 16, that famous verse, would be the number one verse. It's not that one. Some people might think it was the famous Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, right? It's not that one. Some people might even think the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6. It's not that one. You know what the number one highlighted verse on the internet from the Bible is? It's Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Listen to this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And get this, verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? You find your peace in Christ Jesus. That's where it's found. And that's what he wants us to do. And you know, we think about trouble and we think, well, why would a loving God let us face trouble? But God uses trouble. Scott Sauls has written a book, Beautiful People Don't Just Happen. And in his book, he reminds us of this. Some of the world's greatest souls became their best selves, not in spite of, but because of their distress. The great hymn writer Cowper wrote hopeful hymns, and the great artist Van Gogh brushed epic paintings while both were contemplating suicide. Charles Spurgeon, Abraham Lincoln, Winston Churchill, and Martin Luther King Jr. all suffered from depression. Yet look at the impact they've had on our culture. The composer Beethoven, he was deaf. Elie Wiesel and Corrie Ten Boom both survived the Holocaust, yet became prolific writers that have impacted the world. John Perkins was an author. He endured jail, beatings, and death threats from white supremacists, yet his writings have impacted the world. Johnny Erickson Tata, she had a diving accident that left her unable to walk, yet she started a ministry that goes worldwide to people of differing abilities. You see, God uses trouble and can bring good things out of the trouble that we face so that we can have faith. God is always at work through the Holy Spirit to mold you, and sometimes he uses trouble to help do that. Lastly, I want you to think about the end of verse 33. You know, we read the first part of that. In this world you will have trouble, but look at what the last part of it says. Take heart, I have overcome the world. And here's our connection. It's through love and faith we can overcome the trouble of this life, just as Jesus did. You think about those apostles that followed Jesus, those 12 men, 11 after Judas died, and then another one was sent in his place. What did they do? After Jesus died, they were down and out and didn't know what to do. But after they saw the resurrected Christ, their whole lives changed. They went out and preached, and they taught in Jesus' name, and they changed the world. They brought the message of good news and hope to this world. They were fearless, and they served Jesus and spread the message that has impacted people down through the ages. If only we could follow their example by loving Jesus and believing that God sent him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived the things God has prepared for those who love him. You see, God wants to impact those that will believe in him. Back in 2013, two Muslim suicide bombers strapped on bombs went to a church building in Peshawar, Pakistan. They detonated those bomb devices there in the middle of a church service that Sunday morning. Things were blown every which way. 127 people killed, 250 people wounded. They cleaned out the people that were dead, and they helped the wounded get care, but the government didn't come. It was only the Christian people that helped each other to get through that time. The next day, Monday, they all gathered back at the church. They picked up Sunday school papers that were strewn everywhere. They cleaned up the floor. They set the pews back up where they were supposed to go. They cleaned blood off the walls. They gathered up shoes that were left behind by the dead people and distributed them to the needy. And then they held a worship service. They praised God right there in the midst of the trouble. They showed their love and their faith in Jesus Christ despite the trouble and the atrocities that they had faced. And somebody asked, why in the world are you doing this? Even newspapers came to record what was going on and write about it. And they simply said this: this church was founded on this premise, that the church is to be a witness for Christ in a major Islamic city. And that's what they did. They showed their love and their faith to the community so that others might know the hope that they had even in the midst of trouble. Listen, you're going to face trouble in this life, but you hold on to Jesus. Jesus, and remember what Jesus said. The Father has loved you because you love me and you believe that I am sent by God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the many blessings that you have for us. And we know life is not always going to be easy, that we're going to face problems because we live in this broken world. Just as the apostles face problems, just as those people in Pakistan face problems, we might not face the magnitude of trouble that they face, but it's real trouble nonetheless. And so we pray for your help and your blessing. And in return, we know you've asked us to love Jesus and to believe that you sent him. And that's my prayer today, that we will do that, and that we will show that love, and we will show that belief in all that we do as we travel about our lives in this world. In Jesus' strong name, we pray and praise today. Amen.